On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. Everybody, I'm here with Adam Vish of the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. Adam, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. And let me start by saying that this podcast is awesome. So, big fan of it. Followed along some good stuff on here. So, just thank you for doing what you're doing for the organization. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, but like you said, I'm with the Pittsburgh Pirates at the major league level. It's going to be my first year with the Pirates, first year at the major league level, my 11th year overall in baseball. And, you know, ironically enough, I grew up just a little bit west of Pittsburgh in a little town called Swickley. So I'm coming home here. I went to the University of Pittsburgh, so spent a lot of time in the city. But out of school, I got a job out of grad school with the Kansas City Royals. Was my first little experience. And we just talked about the Appy League, spent some time in Burlington was my first spot and kind of learned the ropes there with the staff there. Made a lot of good connections with Joey Greeny, who's now in Tampa, and George Timke with the White Sox. And those guys were very good to me. Ryan Stoneberg still with the Royals was very good to me my first year. And I think that those guys really put a lot of things in perspective for me. That Appy League was daunting. So, you know, kudos to them for getting me ready for that. But went to the Wilmington Blue Rocks the next year, 2012. And it was my first full season. So got to experience everything that comes along with that. And I think 142 games. So, you know, got my feet wet with all that entailed. And those were both seasonal part-time jobs for me. And, you know, the end of that year, my coordinator at the time, you know, he got wind of a job opening with the San Francisco Giants. And he was like, hey, man, you know, it's a full-time gig, the insurance, everything like that. You know, you have to put your hat in there. You have to go for it. So, you know, I really respected his opinion. So that's what I did. And I went for it and I ended up getting that job in 2013 and just went up through the system with the Giants. And, you know, most recently with them, I was the assistant coordinator and 2017 and the strength conditioning coordinator for 2018, 19, 20. Yeah, my years are all running together. So yes, coordinator with them in 2019, 2020 during the little shutdown, the pandemic last season. And then, you know, this opportunity came up and it was a chance for me to come back home in a sense. And, you know, my coordinators at the time and, or the, you know, big league guy at the time, the medical director were all for it and were very open to allow me to pursue it. And, you know, big thanks to them because without that, then, you know, I wouldn't be here. So came back home, left Scottsdale and drove back to snowy Pennsylvania in December and shoveled a driveway for the first time in like 6-7 years. So got right back into it.
Yeah. I was going to say you're back in the cold weather now. But first and foremost, congrats on the new gig. That's awesome. Super excited for you. Obviously, you've been around in baseball for a while. So to be able to work up the ranks and then finally get to the big leagues and to be back home, I'm sure you're super excited. So congrats on that. And then you bring up the Appy League. And I always like to kick these off with a best pro baseball story. Maybe it's an Appy League story. Maybe it's not. But give me your best story or best memory that you have.
No, you know what? The Appy League, we called it the Applebee's League because every hotel had an Applebee's by it. So if you ask me what's on the Applebee's menu, I can probably tell you everything on that menu that you can get. A best story, I don't know if I have one that sticks out. I think there's a lot of things that happen over the course of time that kind of stay with you. Just guys moving around, friendships you make, you know, I think you get on this on every podcast, like just the relationships you build with these guys is really the story itself and how those relationships last and seeing where a guy goes in his career. And you know, you might not be there with them, but in some way, shape, or form, it's pretty rewarding for you to, you know, see a guy succeed. And that's what ultimately we're here for, is these guys. So, you know, I think that in itself is the story. And I know a lot of people can relate to that, is just sitting back and watching these guys and seeing what they can do, and then seeing them do it at the ultimate level, I think is always the ultimate story.
Yeah. Even talking off camera, we were talking about a guy that I had in rookie ball, who's in the big leagues with you now, and just being able to see him even from afar and keep in contact and just, hey, saw you pitched well the other day, nice job, or, you know, him texting me or whatever. It's just, it's cool to build those relationships with guys and see them grow up. And for me, I love seeing them in their natural environment, right? Just playing the game, like watching them play, sit back and just see how they react to adversity, or see them celebrate when they get a big hit or something. It's just really cool to see them in their natural environment and grow up right in front of you over the years.
Yeah, because for us, we know what each level is like, right? We know what that athlete league's like, and you know what it's like at that major league level, and seeing those guys come through each of those stages and learn something about themselves, or learn something about how they can better prepare themselves, or how they can go about a situation on field better, and you knowing that in some way, shape, or form you might have had just the smallest impact on it, I think is the most rewarding thing.
I agree 100%. 100%. It's a really cool part of the job. It's just seeing them grow up, helping them just a little bit, and then watching them struggle a little bit, and then they come to you, and then you give them something else, and like, oh, that's good. And then they keep moving up, and they keep facing challenges, and they keep succeeding at those challenges. And then, like you said, before you know it, they're in the big leagues, they're living that big league lifestyle, and, you know, all that hard work that they've put in is worth it for them.
Yeah.
So what do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing?
Nothing, right? I think that's the craziest thing. I think there's a time and place for everything. It's a matter of having that tool belt and that toolbox, you know, whatever you want to call it, right? There's always something. And there's always something you could pull from, and you might say that, you know, that's crazy, but it's just crazy enough that it might just work. So I think being very open to things somebody else might think is crazy is, you know, it's just doing your job, right? Being able to pull from, you know, whatever seminar you went to, whatever book you read, whatever it might be, to say, you know what, I might have something for this that might be a little bit crazy, but it might actually work. So I think just that, right? Just not saying something's crazy and being open to trying something if the time calls for it.
Yeah, honestly, I agree 100% with you. Just being open-minded to other people's training ideas and training philosophies. And it's been brought up on the podcast, but a lot of these guys train with other people in the off season, and those people have maybe different ideas than we do. And so for them, like, they come to us and say, hey, what do you think? And it's like, if you're closed-minded, you're set in your ways of training, and you tell that guy, no, he's wrong, like, that guy's not going to want to listen to you during the season, because he trusts this other guy's training philosophies, and they might not line up with yours in, you know, in a certain sense, but ideally, like, our big rocks, right, are like, we're trying to improve potential for performance and reduce your risk of injury. Like, we can't guarantee that you're going to perform better, but we're going to do everything we can to try to get you there, and we're going to try to minimize your risk of injury on the field. And if you're covering those big rocks, like, maybe I do Olympic lifts and you don't, but if that guy comes to me and he's like, hey, I want an Olympic lift, at least I understand, like, where he's coming from, what he, like, I can have that conversation. So I think, like you said, there's a time and a place for everything, and if you're open-minded to conversation, like, I think it just makes the world go round, at least for me,
right? And that conversation and being open-minded to what a personal trainer or a, you know, performance facility might be, they might be paying somebody to train them, and them knowing that you're going to have those conversations and you're open to those conversations and you're willing to talk about continuing these methods or applying a different philosophy to get to the same, you know, to the same ultimate goal. And they see that respect there of, okay, you know what, you're going to respect how I go and maybe have a different idea, but I'm willing to listen to you and I'm willing to try and I'm willing to go on with what you want me to do, because it's the here and now and you're seeing me and you know, not somebody else in season type deal. So yeah, that collaboration with just the off season, the in season, the different philosophies that people have, the different trainers that are out there. And, you know, you see it now in baseball with all the different things coming into the game, right? If you were closed off to a way to warm up, you know, if you're throwing a plyo ball, that wasn't something that was commonplace 10 years ago. So it's everywhere. So you adapt, you learn, and you figure it out, and you say, okay, you know what, this makes sense for this situation, so let's apply it.
Yeah, and I think it's especially relevant in the pro setting. Like in college, it might be a little different where the guys come to you, they don't really have a choice, they have to do your training, and over the years you develop them through your system. But we have guys coming from different organizations, you know, different countries, just different training backgrounds. And it's, you know, if guys come to us from a certain team and they trained that way, well, that guy's inclined to train that way. So now I have to find the balance between getting him to do what we think is best and what he's been told is best his whole career. And so we really have to be open, especially in our setting. And the other thing for me is I've learned a ton from our players, right? Like they come to me and they're like, hey, I've been doing this, and have you looked into it? I have this machine at home. What do you think about this? And I'm like, all right, let me write it on my notes. I'll look it up today. I'll get back to you tomorrow. And then I go to the guy tomorrow. I'm like, hey, I looked up that machine. It's pretty interesting. Have you seen good results with this, this, this? And they're like, oh, this guy actually did look it up. Now
I respect that.
Exactly. Exactly. So I've learned a ton just from, being around the older players who have been around the game a while. And I mean, there's something to be said for guys that can, you know, have 30 plus starts in the big leagues or play 140 games in the big leagues every year, that something they're doing is working for them to be able to get through our schedule. It's a very unique schedule. I want to know what it is they're doing. Maybe it is our program, but maybe it's not, you know? So having those conversations, being open to learning from them, I think is awesome.
Yeah, and nothing is going to prepare you to play 140 plus games. So those things that they're doing that are working, it's okay, well, let's keep doing, let's add, let's subtract, but let's work around and let's keep going.
Exactly. So one of the big reasons I wanted to have you on is you are going to be presenting at our upcoming webinar early April. By the time that this one gets released, the previous episode will have been with the nutritionists who are also presenting. If anybody missed it, the name is The Importance of Nutrition, Strength, and Mental Health in Sports. It's on April 10th. It's only $25. We got a great lineup. So I'm just going to give you the floor, just whatever you want to talk about your presentation, short of giving us the whole shebang, right? You don't want to throw it all at us because we want to know more when it comes time. But whatever you want to say, the floor is yours about your presentation.
Awesome. Yeah. So Terrence Brannick is the head strength coach with the Pirates. Him and I are going to tag team a presentation, and working title right now, it might get cut up. It's kind of a mouthful, is Importance of the Strength and Conditioning and Sports Dietitian Relationship and Player Programming. Like I said, it might get changed, but it's roughly it. But our idea, you know, we got with Allison Maurer and Courtney Ellison, our two performance dietitians, and trying to tap into that, you know, strength coach dietitian collaboration and pull from what we can get together and maybe present to players in a way of nutrient timing based on daily activities, schedules. And I think the focus for our presentation wise, and this could go down many rabbit holes after that, but we're going to focus on, you know, the starting pitchers, because that's really the one and only thing that's structured out in baseball is your starting pitcher's 5-day routine. And working with those two and Terrence and I putting together what that routine looks like on paper, what, say, conditioning, lifting philosophies we're going to, you know, implement with the specific people and what metabolic pathways we're going to tap into. And then really focusing in on how we can fuel them properly for the day. And then not just fuel them for the day, but post activity, fuel them optimally for what they just did. You know, whether it was an aerobic day and a lactate day, a heavy lift day, a bullpen day, and taking into account all the activity these guys are doing for us and really focusing in on how we can fuel these guys the best. And then also provide them with the most necessary nutrients in their diet. Obviously a food first approach for us, and then supplement around it. But I think that's one of the things that hasn't really been tapped into, at least in my experience, was really getting in there with specifics of a schedule and specifics with events, and really honing in on what they should be eating, what they should be consuming, what they should be doing for recovery at a more detailed approach versus just, carbs, proteins, whatever the case may be. And, the dietitian and fueling performance for me has come a long way since I started in Burlington, right? It was, me and our trainer going out buying as much as we could with $140 to last a 7-day road trip. So that was a lot of peanut butter, jelly, and bananas. So, fast forward 10 years and organizations have spent a whole lot of money on the performance side. So, really trying to get ingrained with them and collaborate with them on how we can optimally get these guys what they need for that given day based on their schedule. And then it creates the buy-in from a player, hopefully, that a dietitian is speaking the language of a strength coach of, oh, you had, gassers today and you did an upper body lift after your bullpen, and, strength coach is speaking, oh, you fueled up with this prior to, make sure you got that. And then post game, your plate should look like this with, your veggies, your proteins, your fats, and really start hitting these guys at different angles so that they hear the same message from different people. And then it becomes important, hopefully. So that's going to be the focus. It's pertinent to our organization. We're going to give you some, insight to a starter's routine into what we're doing for fueling. And, that's not a one-stop shop for everybody by no means. So, it's just hopefully going to spark the thought process for strength coaches, for dietitians, on ways to work collaboratively. And like I said, that can, lead you down a bunch of rabbit holes for guys for in season, off season, weight gain, weight loss, mass, whatever the case may be. And it be more specific than just, oh, make sure you're eating X amount of calories of this or X amount of calories of that, and kind of get more specific to what they're training or methods of training and then methods of fueling.
So when I interviewed the nutritionist, that was one of our big talking points, was like, how far nutrition has come in baseball. And it really has. It's like you said, the Applebee's league is basically, it was pretty much, we're just giving you guys Applebee's and the rest is peanut butter and jellies. And it's come so far, which is awesome. And then the other thing for me is like, knowing that you're going to be giving these specific examples is awesome, right? Like, a lot of times you hear presenters in webinars or things like that, and it's kind of surface level of like what, they really could dive into. And it sounds like you guys are going to dive in pretty good. And just knowing Allison from the previous conversation I had and some of her ideas and things like that, like, I think it's going to be a really, really awesome collaboration. And I said it on the last episode, I'm going to say it here. Like, if you can't afford the $25 for the amount of like value that's coming out of this, and there's CEUs available also for strength coaches who are, I must have CEUs for my webinar. Like, this is one of those ones that's going to be really great because of the collaboration aspect. And basically it's that performance team, right? Like, it's not just strength coaches talking to strength coaches here. It's nutritionists talking to strength coaches, talking to baseball coaches, talking to high school players. And it's just general good information for everybody to take. And then, like you said, you're diving even a little bit deeper and a little further to hopefully stir up more conversation afterwards. So I love that. I really do. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah. And that's kind of where we're at now with that conversation of, okay, well, how can we make this more in depth for not just starters, but relievers, position players? Do you look at, certain positions now? Do you get ingrained with, okay, middle infielder versus corners, outfielder, center field versus the corners and the outfield, and what their demand is with just normal in-game activity? And, hopefully it leads to a lot more, that sniper-like approach. It leads to a lot more refined meal planning based on activity. And ultimately it's trying to impact a certain goal, or and that goal is to play baseball every day, right? To recover, to fuel up, to be ready for a game and eat for energy, as opposed to crush however many energy drinks you want to crush. But I think, like you said, the collaboration with sports dietitians and strength coaches can – definitely impact a player on a day-to-day basis, especially if they're on task, speaking the same language and providing them with as many options as possible to, you know, meet a goal.
Yeah, I'm, like I said, I'm really excited for it. Hearing the nutritionist speak on the previous podcast episode, I'm excited to hear all of them. And just this whole collaboration, this whole group, I think is going to be great for the PBSCCS, for the CPSDA, and for all the listeners as well. So I'm really looking forward to it. And again, if anybody is going to sign up, it's on our website, baseballstrength.org, under the events tab. It's only $25. It's on April 10th. So anything that you want to end with before we progress here, anything that we didn't cover presentation?
No, I think we got it all, or else I'll give the whole presentation right now.
I don't want you to give it all away. Not yet. We'll save it for the webinar day. So we'll move on then. So what makes a strength and conditioning coach successful in your mind? Maybe just in general, and then more specifically in professional baseball.
Yeah. So I think more general and a broad approach is, right, being a chameleon, being able to wear those different hats with the players, you know, from where things have progressed to, you know, you don't have to wear as many hats. Like we just said, you know, there's dietitians readily available in most cases, and we don't have to wear that hat of being the ones looking for food sources, but also, you know, being in the know and still being able to answer questions on nutrition, because, you know, guys are coming to us all the time with things, or, you know, being able to talk to a guy, life hits you and guys lean on you to talk and to kind of get out what they're feeling. So I guess being able to dissect different parts of just the player in general and be there for them, I think that, you know, we can have an impact not just on how they play, but how they are mentally, which is huge in this day and age with guys. So just being open to everything when a guy comes up to you, I think is huge. And being able to relate to these guys for whatever the case is always gonna help these guys out. And it's going to give you kind of that sense of, you know, you're doing something not just as being a strength coach, but being there for the whole player and not just a part of the player. So that player-centric aspect, right?
And then how about specifically in baseball, any like secrets or tricks of the trade, I should say, that you got for us?
I think, you know, that collaboration with your other strength coaches, with your medical staff and with the field staff, you know, feeling that you're able to be empowered to be a leader, or to, you know, be a leader within your staff, or be a leader whenever you're having a conversation with somebody. I think that goes a long way in how somebody develops, especially a young coach. And, you know, usually guys, their first couple of years, not necessarily lack the confidence, but, you know, they feel like they can't chime into a conversation. I think for a young coach, you shouldn't have to feel that your, you know, opinion not necessarily matters, but you shouldn't voice it. I think having that thought of, you know, your thoughts, your opinions are going to matter for something. And if you never, you know, get it out there, then you'll never know. But just having a sense of being empowered to speak up and lend, you know, whatever it might be, tidbit to a conversation will go a long way. And just that self-confidence. And then ultimately, you know, that development that they're going through as a coach themselves, you know, it'll springboard from there and building that confidence up, I think is huge. So I know being in the coordinator role for a couple of years, you know, the staff that I had in place, and you've had most of them on this podcast already. I think that, you know, I hope that I let those guys speak their mind whenever and hope that I let them lead amongst the staff and amongst themselves, because that was ultimately going to help in their development. So I think more specifically, just having that sense of that you can and probably should, you know, try and be a leader, try and, you know, give your opinions on things. And, you know, if it's not the way your boss or somebody wants to go, it's not a big deal. It's okay. Well, you know, maybe the next one. So.
Yeah. For me, like seeing both sides of that coin, right? Like if you're in the leadership role, like all the good leaders I've been around have been like, hey, we hired you for a reason. Don't be afraid to voice your opinion. We may not agree. We may not implement what you want or what you think is best, because we have a system in place, but at the same time, like, we hired you because we think you're good. Like, say something. Like, if something comes up and you're thinking it, don't be afraid. And then you know, the other way is like being able to be in those leadership roles. Like I've been in play every place I've been, they're just like, all right, go ahead, lead the group. All right, you're in charge today. Like, lead the other strength coaches. Tell them where they need to be, how to do this. Like, you're in charge of the lift today. Like, get the guys through it, make it smooth. Like, just having those opportunities to be leaders in a small area. Once you move up, like, you'll feel more comfortable speaking in front of big groups. You'll feel more comfortable around the players and like making adjustments on the fly. And obviously we know the guys give us a hard time sometimes, and you'll learn just to not take it personally, right? Like, they're just trying to mess with you to mess with you. And like, there's both sides there, right? It's like, I like what you're saying. It's like, if you're this young coach, do this. If you're the older coach who's in charge, let your young coaches do this, give them the opportunity. So kind of just building on that, do you have any additional advice for others in the field, whether it be that young coach we're talking about or that older coach that's been around a while?
Yeah, I think for that young coach, you know, like you said, don't take it personal. Like, if, you know, like you alluded to, like, the players are going to rag on you, never take it personal. But like you said, like, if your idea isn't the way something goes, like, don't take it personal. It's there's bigger things at stake that might be the reason for it. It's not necessarily a, you know, terrible idea at all, but it might be something larger than they know at that moment in time. And, you know, just take it as it is that, okay, well, my idea was heard, which is awesome, right? That you should always have the feeling that your idea was heard. And that goes to those guys who've been in the game a bit longer, right? I always made sure that when an idea got brought to me, I made sure that I thought on it. I made sure that I talked to that coach about it. And whether I went with it or not, it was made sure that they knew that I fully considered what they were saying and what their thought process was, to not make them feel like they didn't matter in any way, shape, or form, because that's not going to get you anywhere, right? Like I said, I want those guys to feel that they're empowered to have a decision, have a say, or have an opinion, and bring that to me as I was in that leadership role, and it be my decision to think on it and then ultimately move in the direction. So for both of it, it's, you know, those young guys, don't be afraid and don't get skittish whenever it doesn't go your way. And for those older guys that have been in that leadership position, it's always making them feel like their opinions matter. And, you know, if it doesn't go their way, then that's, you know, that's okay. But make sure that they know that it was thought on, and keep grooming that coach to develop and learn. Because that's the name of the game for us, right? Those young coaches, we want to develop. You want to develop them just like you want to develop a player. And if they never get those opportunities, then, you know, they're going to get stuck and they're never going to develop. And who knows what happens?
Yeah, I've made it known that, like, I would like to be in the big leagues. And this year, thankfully, I'll be there. And at the same time, that coordinator role for me, like, that's the aspect that's really appealing, is, like, developing those other coaches to move on to other places, to move to better opportunities, and to have their voices be heard, and give them special projects that make them feel empowered and as part of the group. And, you know, I think the being in the big leagues part definitely outweighs that coordinator role for me in a lot of ways. I really like being with the team. I like the travel. I like late nights, early mornings, like the quote unquote, the grind, like, for me is a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. But that coordinator aspect of developing other coaches is something that's really, really cool and really appealing to me. And I'm sure it's very rewarding to, like, have those coaches underneath you, have them feel empowered, move on to other positions. Like, even when I was in grad school, when we got a kid to go to a big, like, D1 internship, like, we thought it was awesome. Like, this kid wants to go, you know, pursue something that he didn't think was possible. And, you know, we put in a small word for him or whatever, and now he's moving on to go intern there, and then he comes back and he's a GA somewhere else. And it's like, just watching that progression, like we talked about, right? Like, the players, we watch their progression. Like, you watch other coaches' progressions as well. I'm sure that was a very rewarding part of that job.
Yeah, and even leaving there and moving over here and seeing and still keeping in touch with those guys, I was close to all of them, and seeing how they're moving up and they're other, you know, a higher level this year without having the opportunity last year with the shutdown and everything, and still getting those opportunities to learn and grow throughout the system. And, you know, hopefully those guys continue to grow. Cause like you said, there's, you know, no better feeling than a guy saying, hey, there's this, you know, coordinator job open over here. Can I apply for it? It's 100%. You know what? And you hope that they get it, because they all deserve it. You know, I would go to bat for any of those guys. Any guy that I've had, any staff member, those guys all deserve all those opportunities, just because, you know, they, you know how hard you guys work, and I know how hard these guys work, and it's like, okay, whenever that opportunity shows up, like, you have to go for it.
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah. Prepare as much as you can, and then when that opportunity comes, like, you got to jump at it, and hopefully you're ready. And again, on both sides of the coin, right? Like, hopefully your leaders, your managers, your coordinators, whatever they are, have helped prepare you for that. And at the same time, hopefully you've put in enough work to be prepared for that when it does pop up. But talk to me about continuing ed, books you're reading, seminars you're attending in our non-existent off seasons, podcasts you're listening to, just where are you going for continuing ed, and maybe some recommendations for us?
Yeah. So I think the last seminar that I had queued up to go to was, last March, about a year ago. FRC was going to be at Exos in Scottsdale, and I was planning on taking a little vacation from spring training out there to go hit that up. But obviously we all know how that turned out. And they're still high on my list. I haven't had an opportunity to do anything the last year or so, like most everybody listening or watching. But the FRC course is high on my list. I had some exposure to it from just sharing of logins. I don't know if I can say that. I don't know if anyone FRC is listening. I didn't say that. So if you have to edit something, we can edit that out. But, you know, so doing some self learning, you know, with that, cause that's becoming commonplace, I think, with a lot of, mobility routines with guys in baseball. So I'm trying to get on board with that. A couple seminars that I know I did with, it was cool. We did it as a staff last year, and not just strength coaches, trainers. It was, you know, field staff as well. We did the on-base use certification. So being able to take that with hitting coaches and pitching coaches, managers, things like that was pretty cool. Cause then, you know, you open up those conversations and a lot of things come back to the weight room and the training room, and a lot more conversations were had with, how can we look at this? How can we look at that? And now all of a sudden you have hitting coaches and pitching coaches and strength coaches and trainers all speaking the same language. So I know the OBU certification was pretty good, especially if you can have a larger, broader staff do it together, build some of that, you know, collaboration and those relationships with hitting coaches, pitching coaches. But as far as seminars, I know their TPI, Titleist Performance Seminar, was pretty good. I took that a couple years ago. So just looking at, obviously geared towards golf, and I'm a terrible golfer and it didn't help my swing at all. But, you know, just a lot of good things can be applied to baseball because it's all rotational. So taking bits and pieces from that with just some hip shoulder separation techniques was good for baseball specifically, and golf too, if we got anybody listening in the golf world. Books. I honestly brought three books to Florida with me whenever I flew down here, because I knew I was going to have to quarantine for a couple of days before spring training started. And I brought down, what I'm staring at right now, I brought down Legacy, I brought Start With Why, and I brought Turn the Ship Around. And I think my personal reading, I've kind of started to get more into the leadership aspect over the last few years, like, you know, we talked about earlier, more so than the educational, if you will, aspect of the readings. So I was given, you know, I think a lot of people on here heard you come across Legacy and Start With Why already, so I won't go much into that, but I don't know if anybody's brought up Turn the Ship Around. It was David Marquette, and he was a captain in the Navy, and he was in charge of the USS Santa Fe, and he pretty much turned it from the worst performing ship in the fleet to the best performing ship in less than a year. And this book was given to me, Andy King, who you've had on here. Whenever I got my coordinator job, he dropped this in my locker. And I think it was really good for me. Just again, it kind of goes over, do you want to be a, you know, leader type guy, or do you want to be a leader who has a bunch of followers? And that goes to empowering these coaches to be their own leader and to give them a voice, and that leader aspect is what they really hit on, and how he empowered the fleet to have their opinions, say their opinions, don't be afraid of what the final outcome will be, but know that, you know, they need to be a leader in their own right. And the only way for this to work smoothly and for us to be successful is for everybody to take some sort of leadership responsibility, you know, and whatever it was, he would delegate out to the staff and they would be in charge of those specific things. And ultimately he answered for everything, but he knew that those guys were going to have their voice, going to do what they needed to do, and they were going to do things as a group, as leaders together. So I think that one really hit home, you know, a few years back whenever I got into this role. But I chose those three because coming to a new place, you know, not knowing a lot of what's going on and in the new organization, I just wanted to refine a few books and get some ideas in my head and things like that. So I would highly recommend Turn the Ship Around. I think it was really good if you're looking for those more leadership type books. So podcasts, I mean, obviously this one, Pacey Performance. I'm a big Pacey Performance. If you can get past the hard accent at times, which I love, the Coach Glass podcast, Dan Glass is Titleist Performance, and it's a lot of, you know, golf background again, but you'll get some good things out of there. Brett Bartholomew's Art of Coaching has always been a good one. And I don't know if they still do it anymore, the Central Virginia Sports Performance Podcast. I think they're done with that, but I know they got a lot of good stuff if you're looking through their archives. And then usually if I'm going podcast, I'm kind of zoning out of baseball or zoning out of performance. I'm a big hockey fan, so Spit and Chicklets is kind of where I go to kind of disconnect from usually anything serious. So Spit and Chicklets, if you're a hockey fan, I'll throw that one out there. But other than that, I mean, that's really it. I know there was I'm not a big Joe Rogan guy, but I know 2-3 years back, there was a Joe Rogan, David Goggins podcast. That was phenomenal. It was probably like a 2.5 hour, 3 hour podcast of just David Goggins. And I know he's got a book out now. I haven't picked it up yet, but that's on my list. So
I have many things, but I'm going to start with, are you a Penguins fan?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes,
my goodness.
I am a Penguins fan.
We'll talk about this another time.
I'm a Penguins fan, and I've had some good experiences. I know those 2 years of in AAA, when they went back to back, that first year I was in Sacramento playing the San Jose Sharks. I was walking around Sacramento, probably the only person in the Bay-ish area with a Pittsburgh Penguins anything on, and got some looks, got some comments. And then the second year of that back to back, when they played Nashville, we just happened to be in Nashville, and again had my Penguin jersey in Nashville and got a whole lot of looks and a whole lot of, you know, comments, but, you know, turned out luck in my favor. So
yeah, I'm sure you just happened to have your jersey with you for that trip.
I just happened to have it. So
I'm a Flyers fan, so I thought we were going to be friends, but maybe not.
Yeah,
on everything except hockey.
Yeah, there was a couple rough ones the last couple nights to the Rangers, huh?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. Anyways, actually relevant to this podcast stuff. So the Turn the Ship Around, I wrote that down. I circled it. It sounds like a really good book, and it's one that hasn't been brought up. So thank you for bringing that one up. Obviously, thank you for the support of this podcast. And then the FRC stuff, I would strongly recommend. It goes back to like us talking about guys coming with different training ideas from their off seasons, and FRC is starting to make its way into baseball pretty heavily. I took a course out at the Rockies place a couple off seasons ago, and it was very well worth it. And I've been trying to introduce some of our staff members to it as well here, just because of how prevalent it's becoming. So other than your guided self-study there, I would strongly recommend taking the actual course and getting your own login for it. It is very good, and it's honestly really good. It's really worth your time.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know when it's going to be safe to go to a seminar anymore. So that's kind of like That's one of the things, like, is that something you can do online? And if they've started it, it's like, do you really want to just do it online without the hands-on practical aspect of it? So that's kind of like going to be like the hang up here for however long, you know, this stuff happens.
Or this yeah. Stuff I've seen they're doing it online, and I don't know if it would be the same as the in-person. Like, I'm sure they still show you the exercises and all that stuff, but really just being there in the environment. And the cool thing for me when I did it was all professional baseball organizations. So all the questions were kind of geared toward our schedule specifically and our travel and how we would make adjustments to training and things like that. So it was well worth it. And whether it's this coming off season or the next off season or the one after that, like whenever it's, you know, go time to go back to seminars, I would keep that at the top of your list for sure.
Okay. Yeah. That's been there. It's just been that too. Trying to find time in season. There's never any time. And it's always the time they're the closest and the least travel. It's like, oh yeah, I got games, got this, got that. And it was like, oh, perfect timing. The end of spring training, take a quick little weekend vacation from spring training and go see a seminar and everything gets shut down. So that was my fault for wishful thinking that I was going to do something else during spring training one time.
Yeah. Speaking of spring training, I don't want to keep you too long. Obviously, our free time in spring training is very precious. I do want to go through a lightning round if you have time, but that's totally up to you.
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. Four questions, as long or as short answers as you want to give. First one, who is your biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning?
Yeah, I think I got to think back on the last 10 years, 11 now in baseball, and really who's been there, or the group of people who's been there to help guide me to where I am today. And, you know, like I said, Ryan Stoneberg gave me my start in Kansas City, and then Jeff Head and Brad Lawson with the Giants and that whole staff I had. Like I said, you had all of them on your podcast, Andy King, Mark Spadavecchia, Joe Palazzolo, all those guys, Sergio Rojas. I think just the group, right? The group of people who you've been around the longest and helped influence how you've developed as a coach and ultimately get to where you want to be. So I think, you know, the whole group has been an influence to me and has impacted me in some way, shape, or form to get me to where I am. And, you know, obviously those relationships you have with those guys is personal and professional. And at both ends, I know that, you know, I can always connect with those guys and have a conversation with. So those guys for sure, you know, just the group of people have got me to where I am. I just have to go with the group approach there.
One piece of equipment to train with, what would it be?
Barbell. Simplistic and versatile, going with the barbell.
Biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
I'm going to go the personal route. My family, my wife, I got about to be a 4-year-old in about 10 days from now. So, and then I got a 4-month-old daughter. So just the family, my wife has been with me since I started in baseball. So she's been through all of it. She's pretty much seen everything that we've seen from, you know, day one. So I know it's been as much as a struggle for her as it has for me at those early stages. So definitely, you know, my wife and family has been huge. And then, you know, professionally, you know, being at the major league level is awesome. You know, you work for it and you get there. But I think everything that happened in between there was, you know, just as big of an accomplishment as this is. All those stepping stones to get to where you are, all those, you know, learning opportunities and all those, you know, rights and wrongs to get you there. I think that, you know, the whole picture is a big accomplishment.
Last one from me, any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
Chef. I love to cook.
Chef, really?
I love to cook, and I'm stuck in a hotel for the last month and got another 2 weeks left. So it's kind of eating me up a little bit.
It runs in my family, and my dad is an unbelievable chef, and my wife loves when I cook for her, and I'm like, you have no idea what good food is. Like, when my dad cooks, it's different. Like, it really, really is. I can cook okay just because she's like, how do you know how to do that? I'm like, I don't know. It's just in my genes, I guess. Like, I throw a little bit here, a little there, but my dad is unbelievable. So that's a good
one for me. I'm not going to say I'm anywhere close to being good, but I enjoy it. I you know, obviously during the shutdown last summer and not being able to do much, my wife was still able to work because she's in healthcare. So, you know, I would cook dinner. I know that was, I love breakfast and dinner. If I'm cooking one, I mean, I love doing the breakfast, but you know, a nice chicken parm is usually my go-to at dinner. I think good chicken parm is on point with some pasta and some wine. So I know she enjoys it, but I know it's not that good.
Adam, it's been awesome. Minus the Penguins stuff. if the listeners want to get in touch with you, where can we get more? Is social media the best place or is there an easier spot?
I mean, I'm on social media. I'm few and far on posting. I think most of my social media is just me like looking at what other people are doing, looking at what other strength coaches, what other, you know, sports scientists in the profession are thrown out there. So it's really me just going that route. I don't really repost or post much. And if I do, it's going to be a picture of a baby, a kid, a dog. So you're not going to get much from me in that realm. But I'm available through email. I mean, I'll answer the emails. I don't mind coaches reaching out. I think talking shop with guys is, you'll always learn something, right? It's, you know, whether it's something that you haven't thought about in a while or a new idea, I think that you can always be learning. Always be learning, always be coaching, something along those lines with guys. So email probably.
Perfect.
I mean, you can follow, you can reach out on Twitter, on Instagram. Like I said, it's going to be a lot of pictures of dogs, wife, kids type stuff. So, you know, whatever.
That's the really good stuff in life though. Don't downplay it. Especially the dog for me.
Yeah.
thank you for your time. Good luck with the new position, with the season. Stay healthy. And I'm looking forward to hearing you present on the webinar, man.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. Yeah, good luck to you as well. And congratulations to you, too. I didn't say it at the beginning. Big league job, so
thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah. We'll be in touch soon, man.
Okay.
All right, everybody. That concludes our episode with Adam. I hope you enjoyed this one. It was really cool to hear his journey through the minor leagues all the way up to the big leagues for the first time this year. So congrats to him and good luck on his first year in the big leagues. And it was also cool to hear what he will be presenting on for our upcoming webinar. Again, the webinar is on April 10th. It's only $25. We have a great lineup and you can sign up on the PBSCCS website, baseballstrength.org under the events tab. Between the last episode with a nutritionist and this episode with Adam, you should have a pretty good idea of who the speakers are, what their topics of interest are for their presentations, and kind of just give you a good glimpse into where the webinar is going to go. And like I said, it's only $25. It's definitely going to be something that you're not going to want to miss, so sign up on our website. The three things that I took from Adam in this episode: number one, be a chameleon. Number two, try to speak the same language throughout your performance team. And number three, you can and should always be learning and coaching. With that being said, that'll conclude our episode with Adam. I hope you enjoyed this one. I hope you enjoy the upcoming webinar, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.